Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today, this is the day of Pentecost, is our Old Testament lesson, the book of Numbers, chapter 11, beginning at the 24th verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, the Lord's word is a serious matter. Now, we think of other things as being serious in this life. We think of political turmoil or the economy or foreign concerns, but standing above all of those is the Lord's word, because the Lord's word is literally a matter of life and death. When a person hears it and believes what the Lord has to say, they know they will enter the promised land. When a person hears it and does not believe what the Lord has to say, they end up someplace else. Long years ago, when I was a student, they taught us at the seminary always to pray first. Seek the Lord first. Do that before you start writing your sermon or before you start preparing your Bible class. I know there's pressure. I know you're in a hurry, but you stop, you pray, you bring it to the Lord before you do those things, actually before you do anything. It's like the old hymn, "With the Lord begin your task. Jesus will direct it. For his aid and counsel ask, Jesus will perfect it." And so you pray. I find myself praying as I get ready for Sunday. And as I'm writing my sermon, I say to him, "Lord, the last thing anybody at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Medford, Oregon needs to hear is anything that I have to say. What we need to hear is what you have to say. If it's the words of man, it's going to bring death, but your words will bring life. So, Lord, grant us your Holy Spirit. Grant me to speak your word by your Holy Spirit, and grant us all to hear and believe what you have to say by your Holy Spirit." And so the day of Pentecost. Now, maybe you can think back to the first time a Bible verse stuck in your head or stuck in your heart. What was it? What was the verse? For each of us, it'll be a different thing, probably, or maybe a few of us, some the same. Many of us might think of John 3:16, "God so loved the world." When I was a young person growing up in my family, there were seven of us kids, and we were continually living in harmony with one another. Not exactly. We were continually quarreling over one thing or another. And my mom had us all memorize from the book of Proverbs, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." But that wasn't the first verse that stuck in my heart. The first verse that stuck in my heart was Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, which seems like a strange place to start learning the Bible. But remember, the Holy Spirit blows where he wills, John chapter 3. And where I got that verse from, where it first stuck in my heart, was that the verse was carved in the wall of a building, intentionally so. It was part of the decor of the building. It was carved into the side of a Jewish synagogue in our neighborhood. And right there was the Bible verse, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Not by might, nor by my power, but by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You know, our Jewish friends were right to use that Bible verse. Especially when we Christian people who should know better say things like, well, you know, God never gives you more than what you can handle. And we say things like that because they're catchy. And yet, if you could handle it, whatever it may be, by your might or your power, why would you need God's Holy Spirit? Or put it another way, are there some things that only the Holy Spirit can handle? Are there some things that only the Holy Spirit should handle? Are there some things that will never be handled without the Holy Spirit? And so we come to Numbers chapter 11. Why don't we take a look at that? Our Old Testament lesson for today. Our Old Testament lesson is actually the tail end of a much longer account, events that all preceded, by which today's lesson makes sense. And in the book of Numbers chapter 11, nobody is handling it. Nobody is handling anything well. The people of Israel have left the land of Egypt by the power and the miracles of God. Now they're wandering in the desert. And this is what it says in Numbers chapter 11. Now, the rabble that was among the people of Israel had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again, and they said, oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. We remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up. There's nothing at all to eat but this manna. That's all we have to look at. Now Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each person at the doorway of their tent. And so Moses said to the Lord, why have you been so hard on your servant? He's talking about himself. Why have you been so hard on your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight? Why have you laid the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I bring them forth? Did I say that I would bring them to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I going to get meat to feed all of this people? They weep before me. They say to me, give us meat that we may eat. I alone am not able to carry all this people because it's too burdensome for me. So, if you're going to deal thus with me, please kill me at once if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness. Who's handling it? The people? No. Moses? No. The stress that everybody is under is bringing out what's really going on inside of them. And you know how that is. We can put on a nice coat of paint. But what's going on underneath? And what you see among the people of Israel is that they are a restless and a faithless and a continuously dissatisfied group. There's always something brewing. You lean on them a little and they crack. You lean on Moses a little more and he cracks. And you can actually hear Moses yelling inside his tent. And what does he say? God is unjust. God demands too much. Did I ask for all this trouble? It wasn't my bright idea to save these people. It wasn't my bright idea to lead them to the promised land. Where am I going to get meat for them to eat? Lord, this is more than I can handle. And in answer, the Lord says, yes, it is. It is more than you can handle. Don't be a fool. The Lord always gives you more than you can handle. You aren't supposed to handle it. When you are handling it, in other words, things are in your hands, you know what happens. By your power, by your strength, things start to get into trouble, and you start to get into deep water, and it becomes too much. The trouble starts. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And so what does the Lord do? The Lord takes some of the Spirit that's on Moses, and he does what? He distributes it among 70 of the elders of Israel. And he gives them his Holy Spirit so that they can assist in handling the conflicts and the issues and the concerns and the needs among the people, because one guy can't tackle all of that. They're there to assist and by example point the people always to the Lord. With the Lord begin your task. Faith in the Lord, trust in the Lord, seek the Lord, look to the Lord, find rest and confidence in the Lord. And is it really different today? Among God's people, we want our preachers, or sometimes our leaders and in another capacity, to keep busy in the work of God's kingdom, but never, and I will repeat, never in the scriptures has the Lord said that the preacher or some lay leader should do everything in the Lord's church. It's just not there. It's not written there. They found out that last week. If you remember the lesson from the book of Acts, what has happened? There's conflict again among God's people, kind of a recurring theme. There's conflict, and just like with Moses before them, with this conflict, what do you have? Well, conflict is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful and it's a wonderful waste of time. And a wonderful and a beautiful waste of energy. And it gets you exactly where? Right where you started. Right where you started. And so it was that the apostles last week were getting pulled this way and that, just like Moses. And the whole reason for the church was getting forgotten. What are we here for? It's the ministry of the word and the sacraments of God and it's prayer. And these things are all getting pushed off to the side. And so what did they do? By the leading of the Holy Spirit, they appointed deacons, they appointed lay leaders to take on some of the bricks and mortar activities of the church so that the apostles could devote themselves to prayer and the preaching of the word. And what did God do? He said, I'm going to give you my Spirit too. My Holy Spirit will be on you as well. For the jobs that I have you to do. God did it in the days of Moses. He did it in the days of the apostles. He does it in our day as well, too. Because it's easy for things to crack. Church is a fragile outfit, and we sing hymns about it. What do we say? We say, we're traveling through this wilderness. Or we say, heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear. Heaven is my home. We sing hymns like that. And it's true. The world has always been a wilderness wandering for the people of God when it comes to faith. And sometimes it seems like it's getting worse all the time. And when it gets worse, things begin to crack. And there are conflicts and quarrels and boredom and indifference and distraction, and then the people crack and the preacher cracks and everybody wails at the door of their tent and Moses says, just let me die. And you remember that even our Lord Jesus said what on the cross? My God, what? Why have you forsaken me? Only difference is that our Lord Jesus was actually forsaken by his Father. You and I are not forsaken by God. And the reason why is because your sin and my sin was on Jesus. And there it was all punished and it was all atoned for. And if it's all punished and it's all atoned for, then there remains nothing to be punished and nothing to be atoned for. You're right with God. Your Father is with you. And the Lord gives you his Holy Spirit and his strength. It's like we sing the old hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's where your atonement lies. That is where your righteousness comes from. That's where your rest of conscience comes from, rest of heart, rest of mind. And so when you look at the cross and you see what Jesus did for you, are we going to stand every person at the door of their tent and wail and cry out because things aren't the way they should be? Are we going to say, Lord, I just want to die? Are we going to crack in pieces? Or is it going to be 1 Peter chapter 4? Therefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to God and continue to do good, knowing that He is their faithful Creator. And so, with the Lord, begin thy task. With the Lord, do thy task. With the Lord, conclude thy task. And know that you are in His keeping, under His favor. He's leading you to the promised land, all the way to the destination, all the way to life eternal. And it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by the Lord's Spirit. And so says the Lord of hosts. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.